Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, we had a big birthday bash on last night into the wee hours of the morning for my daughter Daniqua Grace, and we thank God for that. And we thank God that we're even here this morning. And we thank God for your being here. Welcome to the Standing Between the Living and the Dead service number one. A memorial prayer devotional scripture reading. Evangelistic service. And do you know that one of the most comforting things to do for someone who is grieving at the death of loved ones, this is common in all faiths, I mean all Christian denominations, is scripture reading, prayer and scripture reading. Those are the two most comforting things you can do when you're trying to comfort those who are grieving over the death of loved ones. Prayer, scripture reading, and presence. Not your words. Especially not your lying words, talking about, I know what you're going through. You don't know what other people are going through because you're not them. Now, if you have been through it, and if you can tell them it's going to be all right and mean it, then that's all right. That'll help. But the main thing you need to do is pray, read the Holy Scriptures, and be there. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and yes, even foes in the family. This is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House Daily Devotional Bible Reading, episode number 331, where I read three chapters of the Holy Bible in the Old King James Version. Pardon me. Each day, with my family as a part of our family devotions, to encourage you. That is, we do this podcast as well to encourage you to read the Holy Bible in a year's time with your family. Today we are reading 2 Chronicles chapter 25, Isaiah chapter 47, and Nahum chapter 2. Dr. Dwight L. Moody, who is now home with the Lord, said the Bible was not given for our information. The Bible was not given for our information, but for our transformation. Dr. James Merritt said the primary purpose of reading the Bible is not to know the Bible, but to know God, to know the God of the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I have the high honor and the distinct privilege and the great pleasure to read in your hearing, "Thus saith the Lord, the Word of God." At 2 Chronicles chapter 25, Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Now it came to pass, when the kingdom was established to him, that he slew his servants that had killed the king his father. But he slew not their children, but did as it is written in the law in the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, "The fathers shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin." Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and made them captains over thousands and captains over hundreds, according to the houses of their fathers throughout all Judah and Benjamin, and he numbered them from 20 years old and above, and found them 300,000 choice men, able to go forth to war, that could handle spear and shield. He hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. But there came a man of God to him, saying, "O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt go, do it. Be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy, for God hath power to help and to cast down." And Amaziah said to the man of God, "But what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel?" And the man of God answered, "The Lord is able to give thee much more than this." Then Amaziah separated them, to wit, the army that was come to him out of Ephraim, to go home again, wherefore their anger was greatly kindled against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. And Amaziah strengthened himself and led forth his people and went to the valley of Salt and smote of the children of Seir 10,000, and other 10,000 left alive did the children of Judah carry away captive, and brought them unto the top of the rock, and cast them down from the top of the rock, that they all were broken in pieces. But the soldiers of the army which Amaziah sent back, that they should not go with him to battle, fell upon the cities of Judah, from Samaria even unto Beth-horon, and smote 3,000 of them, and took much spoil. Now it came to pass, after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the children of Seir, and set them up to be his gods, and bowed down himself before them, and burned incense unto them. Wherefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah, and he sent unto him a prophet, which said unto him, Why hast thou sought after the gods of the people, which could not deliver their own people out of thine hand? And it came to pass, as he talked with him, that the king said unto him, Art thou made of the king's counsel? Forbear, why shouldest thou be smitten? Then the prophet forbear and said, I know that God hath determined to destroy thee, because thou hast done this, and hast not hearkened unto my counsel. Then Amaziah king of Judah took advice, and sent to Joash the son of Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, Come, let us see one another in the face. And Joash king of Israel sent to Amaziah king of Judah, saying, The thistle that was in Lebanon sent to the cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, Give thy daughter to my son to wife. And there passed by a wild beast that was in Lebanon, and trod down the thistle. Thou sayest, Lo, thou hast smitten the Edomites, and thine heart lifteth thee up to boast. Abide now at home. Why shouldest thou meddle to thine hurt, that thou shouldest fail, that thou shouldest fall, even thou and Judah with thee? But Amaziah would not hear, for it came of God, that he might deliver them into the hand of their enemies, because they sought after the gods of Edom. So Joash the king of Israel went up, and they saw one another in the face, both he and Amaziah king of Judah, at Beth Shemesh, which belongeth to Judah. And Judah was put to the worse before Israel, and they fled every man to his tent. And Joash the king of Israel took Amaziah king of Judah, the son of Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, at Beth Shemesh, and brought him to Jerusalem, and brake down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the corner gate, 400 cubits. And he took all the gold and the silver, and all the vessels that were found in the house of God, with Obed-Edom, and the treasures of the king's house, the hostages also, and returned to Samaria. And Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, lived after the death of Joash, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, 15 years. Now the rest of the acts of Amaziah, first and last, behold, are they not written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel? Now after the time that Amaziah did turn away from following the Lord, they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish. But they sent to Lachish after him and slew him there, and they brought him upon horses and buried him with his fathers in the city of Judah. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I have the high honor and the distinct privilege and the great pleasure and joy to read in your hearing the Word of God at Isaiah chapter 47. Isaiah chapter 47. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon, sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel, sit thou silent and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. I was wroth with my people, I have polluted mine inheritance and given them into thine hand. Thou didst show them no mercy. Upon the ancient hast thou very heavily laid thy yoke. And thou saidest, I shall be a lady forever, so that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it. Therefore, hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest callously, that sayest in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me, I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon thee in their perfection, for the multitude of thy sorceries, and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness, thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee, and thou hast said in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. Therefore shall evil come upon thee, thou shalt not know from whence it riseth, and mischief shall fall upon thee, thou shalt not be able to put it off, and desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. Stand now with thine enchantments, and with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be, thou shalt be able to profit, if so be, thou mayest prevail. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it. Thus shall they be unto thee with whom thou hast labored, even my merchants from thy youth. They shall wander every one to his quarter. None shall save thee. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and yes, even foes in the family, I have the high honor and the distinct privilege and the great pleasure to read in your hearing from the Word of God, Nahum chapter 2. Nahum chapter 2. He that dasheth in pieces is come up before thy face. Keep the munition, watch the way, make thy loins strong, fortify thy power mightily. For the Lord hath turned away the excellency of Jacob as the excellency of Israel, for the emptiers have emptied them out and marred their vine branches. The shield of his mighty men is made red, the valiant men are in scarlet, the chariots shall be with flaming torches in the day of his preparation, and the fir trees shall be terribly shaken. The chariots shall rage in the streets, they shall jostle one against another in the broad ways, they shall seem like torches, they shall run like the lightnings. He shall recount his worthies, they shall stumble in their walk, they shall make haste to the wall thereof, and the defense shall be prepared. The gates of the rivers shall be opened, and the place shall be dissolved. Pardon me, and the palace shall be dissolved, and Huzzab shall be led away captive, she shall be brought up, and her maids shall lead her as with the voice of doves, tabering upon their breasts. But Nineveh is of old like a pool of water. Yet they shall flee away. Stand, stand, shall they cry, but none shall look back. Take ye the spoil of silver, take the spoil of gold, for there is none end of the store and glory out of all the pleasant furniture. She is empty and void and waste, and the heart melteth, and the knees smite together, and much pain is in all loins, and the faces of them all gather blackness. Where is the dwelling of the lions, and the feeding place of the young lions, where the lion, even the old lion, walked, and the lions whelp, and none made them afraid? The lion did tear in pieces enough for his whelps, and strangled for his lionesses, and filled his holes with prey, and his dens with raven. Behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will burn her chariots in the smoke, and the sword shall devour thy young lions, and it will cut off thy prey from the earth. And the voice of thy messengers shall no more be heard. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for allowing us and helping us to read and to understand three chapters of your holy word in your ancient and holy book that is alive and well today. Help us, Lord, to remember your holy word. Help us to then meditate on your holy word. Help us then to obey the principles of your holy word and live by them, and to share your holy word with others, and to proclaim your holy gospel to others in the power of your Holy Spirit and by your grace. We pray for millions of souls to hear the gospel and to be saved, millions of Christians to be revived, and your holy name glorified and Jesus Christ exalted. For it is in your name, Lord Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, this is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the Scripture and the Sense podcast, episode number 667, where I read the Word of God and give the sense of it based on an authoritative commentary source, such as the Bible Knowledge Commentary and or the Matthew Henry Commentary or some other reputable commentary or study Bible. Beloved, this podcast is based upon Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, where it talks about Ezra and the Levites read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. The aim of this podcast, therefore, is that through the simple reading of the Word of God, the Holy Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, here a little, there a little, and the giving of the sense of it or the understanding of it, It is my humble prayer that the church would be revived and that the world would be awakened and saved from the wrath of God to come by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and believing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for all of our sins as the sacrificial, eternal Lamb of God, He died for our sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by the power of God. And all we have to do to be saved is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ said the gospel first and best when he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Dear friend, if you have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, today is the day that you need to do that. Do not hesitate. Do not wait. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now Jesus Christ just told you from John 3:16 what to do to be saved. Believe in him. He didn't say join a church. He didn't say you had to be in a church to get saved. Today the church is not the safest place. The church building is not the safest place. I know that shocks some of you, but it's not. Many people have died over this past year going to the church house. So you need to get saved right where you are. I got saved not at the church. I got saved in a dorm room by simply believing the gospel that I just shared with you. And you can get saved right where you are. You might be sitting on your bed. You might be walking from your bedroom towards the bathroom. You might be sitting on the couch and connected with a watch party with some family members and friends in the Philippines or Norway or Nigeria or South Africa, or in the underground church with a group of friends in a basement in China, or in Iran, wherever you might be, you need to believe in your heart. I don't care what else you believe in, but you better believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ to get your soul saved from that awful place called hell. And hell is a very real place. It's not a scare tactic by Jesus Christ. And if you call it a scare tactic, you would have to call Jesus Christ a person who is using a scare tactic, because Jesus Christ preached more on hell than any prophet, any preacher, any apostle, any writer in the Bible. And Jesus Christ preached way more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ described hell as a place where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. When telling the true story about the rich man, Mr. Dives, who fared sumptuously every day, when he died, Jesus Christ said he opened his eyes in the torments of hell. And that's over 2,000 years ago, and he's there still today. Jesus Christ described hell as a place where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth because of the torments and pains of hell. So hell is a terrible place. Don't love darkness more than you love light. Don't love your sin so much you would go to hell when Jesus Christ is giving you a free pass out of hell. And all you have to do is believe in your heart in Jesus Christ, that He is the eternal sacrificial Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world by suffering and bleeding and dying on the cross. He was buried and rose on the third day. That is the gospel. That is the good news. All you have to do is believe it in your heart. And the truth of the matter is, you don't even have to pray the prayer that I'm getting ready to pray to be saved. Because Jesus said, believe in your heart. Now the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so you should pray the prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, if you're ready to get saved. And mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. For I have lied before. I have stolen things before, regardless of the value. I have lusted in my heart at people and things. I have dishonored and disobeyed and disrespected my parents. I have dishonored you by taking your holy name in vain, even with cursing. And Lord, if I have done these five things, I have broken five of your commandments. But Lord, I understand that if I just broke one of these commandments, I have broken your whole law, for your holy word says so. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And please forgive me of all of my sins, my failures and my faults. Because I now believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins. And that He has taken away my sins. That He was buried and rose on the third day by your power. Lord Jesus Christ, I receive you into my heart and into my spirit. Please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul from hell. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of all of my sins. And help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you in the new life. Lord Jesus, for it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, please contact us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or whatever email is on your platform that you're on right now. Pardon me. And let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. And in fact, you can go to gospellightsociety.com right now and download my book free of charge, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. And you can begin reading immediately. It's a free download. And this will help you to make your next steps in your Christian life. Now, Today, beloved, we are reading Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 4. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy gospel and your holy salvation. Thank you for the privilege, Lord, in the power of your Holy Spirit to preach it. And Holy Father God, we pray for millions to hear it around the world and to be saved live and on demand. And Lord, we pray now that you would fill us with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing of your Holy Spirit to read your holy word and to understand it and to apply it to our lives and to share it with others and to proclaim your gospel from it. We thank you for the fact that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Therefore, the law is slacked, and judgment doeth never go forth, for the wicked doeth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. And that's how it is in this world today, sad to say. That was Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 4. Now, here is the sense of it from the Bible Knowledge Commentary of Dallas Theological Seminary. The greatest tragedy, however, was the people's neglect of God's law. And by the way, that's the greatest tragedy in the world today. Habakkuk described the consequence. Therefore, the law is paralyzed. The divine law appeared to have suffered a knockout. Also, civic justice, Habakkuk said, never prevails or never came forth to fight. It appears that wickedness was the uncontested victor. The wicked hem in the righteous, block in the righteous. The righteous were blocked, were locked up, if you will, and the wicked vigilantes had thrown away the key. Therefore, justice was perverted. With wicked men in power, justice was twisted and turned till it came out injustice. The situation in Habakkuk's day was very perilous. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your ancient and holy word that is relevant to all times and even in these so-called postmodern times. Contrary to what people say, and we thank you for your holy word that speaks to our hearts, our lives, and our times. And I pray that you will help us to meditate on it, help us to remember it, and help us to obey it, and to share it with others to obey it, and to present and to preach your gospel from it. And our prayers that they would obey your gospel and be changed from the inside out. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. This is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House Family Devotional Reading of one of the greatest devotional books ever written by the Prince of Preachers, Dr. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, titled Morning and Evening. This is the podcast, and this is episode number 277. The scripture passage that Dr. Spurgeon chose for this day is Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. For in him dwelleth all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. All the attributes of Christ as God and man are at our disposal. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Whatever that marvelous term may comprehend is ours to make us complete. He cannot endow us with the attributes of deity, but he has done all that can be done. For he has made even his divine power and Godhead, if you will, this is Spurgeon, not me, subservient to our salvation. That's a little bit deeper than what I would want to go. His omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, immutability, and infallibility are all combined for our defense. Arise, believer, and behold the Lord Jesus yoking the whole of his divine Godhead to the chariot of salvation. How vast his grace, how firm his faithfulness, how unswerving his immutability, how infinite his power, how limitless his knowledge. All these are by the Lord Jesus made the pillars of the temple of salvation, and all without diminution of their infinity are covenanted to us as our perpetual inheritance. The fathomless love of the Savior's heart is weary, the fathomless love of the Savior's heart is every drop of it ours, every sinew in the arm of might, every jewel in the crown of majesty, and the immensity of divine knowledge and the sternness of divine justice, all are ours and shall be employed for us. The whole of Christ in his adorable character as the Son of God is by himself made over to us most richly to enjoy. His wisdom is our direction, his knowledge our instruction, his power our protection, his justice our surety, his love our comfort, his mercy our solace, and his immutability our trust. He makes no reserve, but opens the recesses of the Mount of God and bids us dig in its mines for the hidden treasures. All are yours, saith he. Be ye satisfied with favor and full of the goodness of the Lord. Oh, how sweet thus to behold Jesus and to call upon him with the certain confidence that in seeking the interposition of his love or power, we are but asking for that which he has already faithfully promised. Shall we pray? Holy Father God in heaven, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word and this beautiful exposition, yea, devotional of it. Help us to remember your holy word and to meditate on it. Help us to remember this, the devotional throughout this day, and help us to apply your holy word to our lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, save those who are lost and revive those who are saved. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen.